John chapter number 9. Let's stand together and we're going to read several verses and then we'll be seated. The Bible says in John 9 and verse number 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents." Now, we know that all of us are born sinners. He was just saying there that sin was not the reason why this baby was born blind, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus." And I want to preach this morning on this title, "I Know a Man Who Can." I know a man who can. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time this morning in your word? I pray for our two children's churches, God. I pray that you would bless the preachers or the teachers back there today. And I pray, God, that a great work will be done with our little kids there. And Lord, tonight, in fact, this morning, with the teenagers and the adults in this room, God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll walk up and down these aisles, that you'll get a hold of hearts. And Lord, I pray that if someone here today is lost and they do not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'll realize today that you are a Savior who can save their soul. And I pray, Lord, that we as Christians today, as we have battles in our life and we wonder how we're going to get help and how we're going to move forward, I pray that we'll see today, we'll remember today that we serve a God that can and can help us. So, Lord, would you bless the message, I pray. Give me strength and clarity of thought, and I pray that you'll bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated as we begin to read through the text there. Two facts jump off the page as soon as we read the first verse. One fact that we read in this passage is that this person was a grown man. The Bible says as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. I don't know if that man meant that he was 18 or 30 or 40 or whatever, but he was a grown man. Secondly, we find a fact there in verse number 1 that he had been blind since the day of his birth. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And that meant that his entire childhood was spent having never seen the beauty of God's creation. If you've done any traveling at all. Well, we live on a beautiful planet, and I realize that there's a crowd that thinks the planet's going to burn up. They're actually right, even though they don't know their Bible. It is going to burn up one day, but you and I who are saved are already going to be in heaven when that happens. Now, I'm not for polluting. We're starting to get neighbors down our county road. We've lived there for 23 years, and we're starting to get some druggies on down the road there, and you're starting to see more trash being thrown in the ditches, and I hate that stuff. Young people, you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. Don't mess with Texas, amen? But at the same time, man, if you've never gotten out of Will's Point, you have not seen the beauty. I promise you, this ain't it, all right? You can go 10 miles east of here and it gets better than this right here. Used to be beautiful here when it was cotton fields back when we first moved here in the 80s. It would be beautiful at times. But boy, if you've ever been to the Rocky Mountains, you've seen the beauty. If you've ever been to the West Coast and driven on those highways along that Pacific Ocean, you've seen the beauty of God's creation. If you've ever been to the Smoky Mountains, you've seen the beauty of God's creation. But this young man was born blind. He never got to see up to this point. Had never seen that beauty. This little baby, this little child, this young man now had never looked upon the face of his loving mother. He couldn't throw the ball out in the yard like all of the other boys. outside of his own, maybe his own imagination, maybe some, no telling what God gave him in his mind, but outside of only his imagination, he had no clue what anything or what anyone looked like. He was a man that was blind from his birth until one day the Bible says that Jesus passed by. Jesus certainly will make a difference in your life. The Bible says that Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. The Bible says in verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And I'm not going to get into this in detail this morning, but you think about that picture there, a blind man, he cannot see, so his other senses are stronger, and he can hear the Lord spitting on the ground and balling up that clay with that spit. And I preached a message one time on spit, on how, we want God to work. Sometimes we have to go through some things that we don't really appreciate in order to see God work. But God spits on the ground and he makes the clay and puts it on the man's eyes and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and the Bible says, wash. And came seeing. Now, it was not the water that changed his life, no more than the baptistry changes your life. It was the fact that by faith he believed what God was telling him. And so you can only imagine the joy as he lifted up out of that pool. And I would imagine he just kind of washed his face. But as he looked up with perfect 20/20 vision. Then I wear contacts and I wake up in the morning and I cannot see. And I go to the mirror and I'm good looking until I put my contacts in. But I cannot see. And then now they've got me wearing these bifocal contacts. So I still can't see half the time. I could only imagine the blessing of having 20/20 vision. I don't believe God gave him sight and gave him only half sight either. And God doesn't half save you and then you half save yourself by enduring to the end or working in a church or giving offerings. Whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever. And so I can only imagine, though, when the fellow looked up and opened his eyes, had perfect 20/20 vision. As he saw his parents for the first time, as he saw his friends for the first time, as he saw his own hands and his own feet for the first time, as he was able to walk around and just marvel at the beauty. What if God did this in the spring and he looked and saw the green and saw the flowers and the trees and the birds? I can only imagine what was going through that young man's mind. Of course, those around him immediately wanted to know what happened. His neighbors wanted to know. Look at verse 8. We read a little bit a moment ago. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Now, this is funny because they're asking this question as if he's still blind. Well, they're asking this question really as if he's still blind, but now they think he's deaf because he's standing right there. It's not this he that sat and begged. Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, hello, I can see you all. I can see your lips moving. He said, I am he. The neighbors wanted to know. Not only that, the religious crowd wanted to know what happened to him in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, the blind man said, he's a prophet. I guess he's some sort of a prophet. The religious crowd wanted to know, what in the world happened to you? Not only that, even the young men, even his parents wonder what in the world happened to him. In verse number 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And when they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Right. So even his parents wondered. The neighbors wondered. The religious crowd that didn't trust Christ as Savior, they wondered. And I just want to give you a side note here that when Jesus comes into your life, when you truly get born again, people will notice the fact that you're saved, and they ought to know that at school, and they ought to notice that at work, and they ought to know in the family, boy, something has changed in your life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, finally, they gave this young man an opportunity to testify for himself. Look at verse number 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. Again, this is a religious crowd. It's a shame that there are so many places today, so-called churches, where God never works. People aren't saved. People aren't growing. It's just a cold, dead shell of a building. It's a shame whenever God does something and we're shocked. And so they don't even know who Christ is. And they say to this young man, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They're pointing out this Jesus. We know that he's a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, I don't really know the man. I know he's some sort of a master. I know he's some sort of a teacher. Maybe he's some sort of a prophet. He said, but I know this. When I woke up this morning, I could not see. And I'm telling you right now, I can see perfectly. You see, Jesus did what the doctors could not do. Jesus changed what the parents could not change. Jesus performed a miracle that the Pharisees could not explain. I believe the Bible, folks. I don't have to ask somebody to explain to me the miracles of the Bible. I just take God at His word. I believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Pharisees said something like this. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Well, number one, I want to tell you this morning, he was not a sinner. They were talking about the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. And number two, he could do such miracles because he wasn't just any other man. Here are some titles that the Bible gives to the Lord. He is Messiah, Creator, Redeemer, Counselor, Wonderful, Advocate, the Almighty, the Morning Star, the Resurrection and the Life, the Rock, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Seed of the Woman, the Shepherd and Bishop of our soul, the Water of Life, the Light of the World, the Salt of the Earth, the Word of God, the King of Kings, Jehovah, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, the Great I Am, the Name which is above every name, the Lord our God, Faithful and True, Good Shepherd, Great Shepherd, the Mediator, the True Vine, Lord and Master, Savior and Door, Way, Truth and Life, Alpha and Omega, the First and the Last, the Beginning and the End, the Author and Finisher of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. That matters because Jesus is Savior and Christ is the chosen one, the Messiah, the one that was chosen to be the Savior of the world. He's the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valleys, the Captain of our salvation, the Chief Cornerstone, Blessed and Only Potentate, the Horn of our salvation, our Great High Priest, the Head of the Church, and the Only Begotten Son of God. So the Pharisees are saying, who is this man? And he's a sinner just like you, and there's no way he could perform these miracles. But friend, listen, there was a way because he wasn't a sinner, and he wasn't a normal man. He was a Savior of the world. He was God, Creator God, Almighty God, All-Powerful God, come in the flesh, and He's the only one that can give that young man his sight. I thought about this as I was studying during the week for the message, and I thought about the stories of the Gospel of John, and I thought about John chapter number 1, where John the Baptist is baptizing people. Of course, that was after they trusted Christ as their personal Savior because he's preaching the baptism of repentance. Repent of your sin. Trust Christ as Savior. Be born again. And then you get immersed there in the Jordan River. And I can imagine those Pharisees standing around him saying, there's no man alive. There's no man that could forgive these people of their sins. And I imagine maybe John the Baptist said, you know what? I know a man who can. I thought about in John chapter 2 when they were at that wedding and they ran out of wine and they said, we had no wine and no man has any wine and no man could give us any wine. And yet Jesus' mother said, hey guys, I know a man who can. I thought about John chapter 3 where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and he says, no man can do these miracles. And I think Jesus maybe responded, I know a man who can. I thought about John chapter 4 where the woman at the well and the Lord showed her her sin and she went out and began to tell the other people, come see a man that can tell you everything about your life. And I imagine the response was, there's no one who could tell you what I did last night. And this woman maybe said something like this, I know a man who can. I thought about John chapter 5. What a story there. They sang about mercy a minute ago. And I think about that lame man there at the pool of Bethesda. That means the house of mercy. And the Lord came by and he said, you know, the angel comes and troubles the water. And the first person in gets healed. But I drag myself and I can't get there soon enough. But while I'm coming, another comes and steps in my way. And he says, I don't think there's ever anyone that can help me. And I think maybe Jesus said something like this to him in John chapter 6, you know what? John chapter 5, I know a man who can. And he healed him on that day. I thought about the scene there in John chapter 6 where those thousands of people needed to be fed. They had been following Christ. And the disciples said, there is no man that has enough food. And there's no man that has enough water. And there's no man that has enough money. And there's no way that any man in this group is going to provide for these thousands. Just send them away, Lord. And yet I believe the Lord's response was something like this. I know a man who can. In John chapter 7, they begin to question Jesus. And they begin to question the Pharisees among themselves, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? Basically, they were saying, how can this uneducated carpenter's son quote the law? He doesn't know the law. No man like this can know the law. And I think Jesus said something like this. I know a man who can, fellows, because I am the living word. I gave the word of God. Yes, I can quote the word of God to you in John chapter number 8. Those same Pharisees come dragging this lady up and say, this woman was taken in adultery and this woman deserves to die under the law. And there's no man that could save her. And I believe on that day when Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. I believe what he said to those Pharisees is something like this. Oh, I know a man who can forgive her of her sin. And so we come to our text. And no one wants to believe this fellow's testimony. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I can't tell you who he is. I can't tell you why he did what he did. I can't tell you how he did what he did. He said, I'm just trying to tell all of you, if you listen to me for a minute, I can see you, mom and dad. I can see you, Pharisees. Don't want to see you, but I can see you, Pharisees. I can see you, neighbors. Hey, friends, I can see you. I can't explain it all, but I know a change happened in my life. Basically, that fella said there in John 9, he said, all I can tell you is this, I know a man who can. And I'm here this morning to tell you that no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your need is today, I know a man who can. I know a man who could save your soul. You can't. You can't. The Baptist church can't get you to heaven. The Church of Christ and their baptisms can't get you to heaven. The newer Methodist church and all their works cannot get you to heaven. The Catholic Church and their catechism, they cannot get you to heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And friend, listen, to add anything to salvation is to take away from the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I know a man who could save your soul today if you're not saved. Hey, I know a man today who can sweeten your spirits. Anybody need that? Some need it on Sunday, some need it on Monday, right? Some come into church, it's like, bless me if you can. And then some on Monday, it's like, it's off to work we go, you know. I know a man who can sweeten your spirits. Hey, guess what? I know a man who can salvage your marriage if you let him. I was preaching yesterday at Priest Youth Conference Friday and Saturday in Arkansas. Friday night, of course, if you've ever been to a youth conference, they have a lot of hoopla before the preaching. I did not preach till 9:22 on Friday night. I go to bed by 9 now. I'm at least in bed reading by 9 if it's a good night. And when I got up, I said, guys, I am not responsible for what I say, because I'm honest with you, I am dead tired right now. I'm ready to go to sleep. But it was late. It was a late night. But I preached three times yesterday there in Arkansas. But I had a young lady come up to me, and a lady with kids. She came up to me and shook my hand, and I had preached a message the night before oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, not falling because someone else falls, and not these people on social media, how they like to make it look like they're just having a great old time. Not a child of God. They're not going to put the end result, but don't let that stuff trick you. And this lady came up, she said, my daughter's not here. She said, my daughter's 12 years old. And she said, I wish she would have been here to hear that. She said, my husband was our pastor, and he cheated on me. And she said, so her daddy fell into sin. She said, I wish my girl would have been here to hear that. Sometimes it's some of your spiritual leaders. Sometimes it's people that you look up to in the church. And I'm saying to you, listen, there's not a perfect marriage. Could I get a witness? There is not a perfect marriage. You ladies will start treating us better, you know. We might, you know. But there's not a perfect marriage. But why give up on your marriage when God can get in the middle of that thing and salvage your marriage? Hey, I know a man who could secure your future. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid of how I'm going to die. But I'm not afraid to die because, friend, I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because the day I got saved, man, the Bible says my name was signed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I got sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And at death, I'm going to be delivered into heaven itself. I know a man who can strengthen you in weakness. You're going to have a lot of weak moments in life. We're going to have a lot of valleys in life. We're going to have a lot of misunderstandings in life. And we're going to have a lot of things that we go through where we're just down and we're just out for a while. But aren't you glad that God said that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness? I know a man who can satisfy your every longing, satisfy your every longing. You say, I don't have peace. He can give you peace. I have no real joy. He can give you the only true joy you really will ever have. The world just offers you fake stuff that lasts just a little while. But He can give you true joy. You say, there's an emptiness. I've got friends. I've got a job. I've got a house. I've got enough money to pay my bills. But preacher, there's an emptiness. Maybe it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you're missing. I know a man who can supply your every need. I mean, if you're saved and you're honest, unless you're just absolutely reckless and a bad steward with your finances, you've got to be honest and say, man, I'm telling you what, God has come through in times. God has provided stuff I didn't expect and done things that just in just an amazing way. Why? Because God said, I'll supply all. He didn't say, I'll supply all your wants. He didn't say, I'll supply your 1,422 cable channels. Amen. You want to know one blessing about preaching in Arkansas Friday night? 2 hours before I stood up, the Aggies beat the Razorbacks in the SEC basketball tournament. Man, that made for a fun night. Who would want to be, oh, sweet pea, you know? Wouldn't you rather be an Aggie? Like, what's an Aggie? I don't know. But not a pig. God didn't promise to supply all your data plan. But He did say, I'll supply your every need. That doesn't mean we're always going to have steak in the freezer. But you know what? Pinto beans with some rice mixed in. And then if you throw some cornbread in. Ooh. Man, that's good stuff. And if you throw some cheese on top of that, then if you throw some cut up ham on top of that, you know, you could eat those things two or three times. My wife will make some homemade chili. We call it honey chili because honeys used to make it. And she makes some homemade chili. Sarah can make that homemade chili now. And so if you're looking for a wife that can make the stuff, you'd be eating chili every night. Yeah, you got to love it when your dad's a preacher, amen. I came home last night, I said, I may have told people that you may be looking for a husband, and there may be people that come to camp looking for you, and I may have said if they have a picture of a bass boat and some hunting land, they could come talk to me. God will supply your every need. So I just don't doubt that God's going to keep His promise. And so I think when we say, well, God's not doing that for me, I think we need to reevaluate what our priorities are financially. He supplies our every need. I know a man who can scatter your enemies. Let God fight the battles. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. You say, you got some folks that are talking. You got some folks. Hey, I know a God who can stop the mouths that are against you. God has His way. Just roll on. Don't get in the middle of all that drama. I know a man who can speak to your heart. Remember the day the Lord saved you? There are some of us, we remember the day the Lord called us to preach. Surely there are other times in your life where God got a hold of your heart during a message and you knew that God was speaking to you. I know a man who could establish and strengthen and settle you and grow you. I know a man who will stand by your side. And when Timothy said that everyone has forsaken me, he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I know a man who could shepherd you through this life. And I know a man who can safely take you to heaven when you die. I know a man who can. My question to you today is this. Do you know the Lord? I want to ask you two questions or give you 2 points, two different groups of people. Number one is this. Are you sure? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Is your Bible still open there in John chapter number 9? I want to show you something in just a moment. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? And please don't miss this. There is a difference between things that you believe that God has done for you and actually knowing Him as your Savior. Okay, I remember years ago when I was a little kid, Shane and I were out in Lubbock at my grandmother's and at Meemaw's place there, and we would get on a plane, Southwest Airlines plane, and we would fly out to Lubbock. My uncle would pick us up there and take us fishing or whatever, but we got to go to Grandma's house. And I remember one time, Sean did not go with us, he was younger, but I remember plain as day in the living room there. My grandmother was a Catholic, I mean Catholic till the day she died. My mother was raised Catholic and got born again out of that, But I remember Meemaw being on the phone with my mom, and my mom called Meemaw after church one night, and she said, "Hey," she said, "I just want to let you know and let Shane and Jeremy know that Sean got saved at church tonight." And here's what my Catholic grandmother said. She said this: "Saved from what? Was he hurt? Was he falling? Was he in trouble? Did someone say?" Guess what saved means, folks? It means saved from hell. It means you don't have to go to hell when you die. But if I ask you today, are you saved? You might say, oh, I'm going to tell you what. Oh, God has done some stuff for me in my life. You might say, well, yeah, there was a time in my life where I thought my marriage was falling apart, but only God could keep it together. There was a time in my life I thought I had a disease. I thought I was going to die, but God did something in me. There was a time in my life I had a surgery. Didn't think I was going to rise up from it, but God did something for me. There was a time in my life where I had a bad wreck, but I know that it was God that saved me from that wreck. That's not what I'm talking about. Notice in verse number, chapter 9 there, in verse number 25. See, this young man, he could tell you things that God had done for him, but he did not know Jesus as his Savior. Don't miss this. In verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, if you're saved, you understand the spiritual application there of being blind and being lost. But yet God gave us sight. But that specifically is not what that fellow is saying right there. So what he's saying is, oh, preacher, I could tell you 10 times over my life where God saved me. That's great. I'm glad he did. And I'm glad that God saved you alive to this point in your life. But you must be born again. You must know Christ as your Savior, not just know the things He's done or know some facts about Him. Look further down in the chapter there. Look at verse number later that day. Look at verse number 35. Here's the proof. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast Him out. And when He had found Him, He said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus Christ is Savior? He answered and said, who is He? Lord. Lord there just means Master. Who is He that I might believe on Him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Him. My question to you, number one this morning, is do you know Him? Let's get honest. Teenagers, let's get honest for a second. Adults, let's get honest. Do you know Him as your Savior? We could give testimony all day about what we believe God's done for us in life. And no doubt about it that things happen in our life because the Lord allows it and God brings us through things. But there has to be a day in your life where you look back and say, that's the day I realized I was lost and on my way to hell. That's the day that I realized I needed to be saved. That's the day I realized that Christ would save me. So God certainly has brought you to this place. But do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that He didn't just die for the sins of the world? He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He didn't just rise again so we would have a good story in the Bible. He rose again victorious over the grave and victorious over death and victorious over sin and victorious over hell. And He rose again so that you might be saved. Do you know today that He can and He will save you from an eternity in hell if you'll trust Him as your Savior? You say, preacher, I've been a part of religious stuff all of my life. I do not believe that there is a person that can guarantee me that I'll go to heaven when I die. I simply want to say to you this morning, I know a man who can. And His name is Jesus. Do you know Him as Savior? If you don't know Him as Savior, I pray that you'll trust Him today. Let me ask a second question. Christians, do you know Him as your personal friend? Do you know Him as your personal friend? The Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Paul said this, a saved man said this. He said, here's one of my greatest goals. He said that I may know Him. Have you ever been so busy that you felt like you didn't even know your spouse anymore? You've been married a while. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's work and it's work and it's work and it's work and it's pay bills and it's work and it's sleep. And then maybe you go somewhere and they go somewhere. And next thing you know, it seems like we just haven't spent any time together. Just us. I saw Josh today, last night. He came in last night. I'm not kidding. I live in the same house and I have not seen him since in my office last Sunday. And I saw him last night for the first time. Yeah. He works all night, sleeps all day, and no. He works the evening shift or in the morning time whenever he's still getting sleep. I'm up and I'm gone. I've been gone quite a bit this week, but I haven't seen him in 7 days, and now I feel pretty good about it. But it's been a week until last night, you can't with your kids. It's one thing, but with your spouse, you can't let that go on and on and on and on and on. And it's like we never have any alone time. And it's them. And we're one of those couples. We don't have to have a full party at our house in order to just enjoy being home and enjoy one another's presence. We don't always have to have another person around or another couple around. But let me ask you this: Have you, Christian? Have you been too busy for God lately? Has your life been so crowded that your Bible time has become little to nothing? See, I get up and preach each week and each service, and I pray and I prepare and I study. And I was praying in my office this morning, God, there are hearts that, Lord, I'm begging you to get a hold of today. Christian people, but can I be honest with you? If we're doing nothing during the week, nothing spiritually, it's no wonder we come to church and we're just dead. If you're expecting some kind of magic to happen on Sunday, some kind of miracle, yeah, he's a miracle working God. But whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if all week you're reaping, you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap fleshly things in your life. You've got to get back in the Bible. You got to just say, like your spouse will say, honey, can we go somewhere? We have not been alone. Can we just go eat a supper together without the kids? Can we take a 2-day trip and just get away from parents or kids or grandkids or whoever it may. You need that for the health of your marriage. I love my kids. They're both young adults. I'm kidding with them a little bit today, but I make sure they understand that every once in a while, that mom and dad need mom and dad, not kids, always around and always in need. And mom, you have to find that balance. And dad, you have to find that balance. Because if you don't have a happy marriage, I don't care what else you try to replace it with, ain't ever going to work. Never going to work. But if we're not waking up on Monday and at some point spending some time in that book, if we're not spending some time in prayer, if we're not even thinking about the things of God, don't blame me. Don't blame a church. Don't blame fundamentalism, because you're not even doing what you ought to do as a Christian to draw close to the Lord. Has your Bible time been crowded out lately? Has your prayer time, has it become minimal at best? If your prayer time each day is something like this, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food, amen. That's not a prayer life. I've sat with Brother Bob Smith, and man, when he prays sometimes over the meal, it's like 2 seconds. It's like, Lord, thank you for the food, amen. God says just receive it with thanksgiving. I mean, you don't have to, you know, it's time to eat. Food doesn't have to get cold while we quote the Lord's Prayer. But if that's all our prayer life is, we're in trouble. I want to say to you, Christians, that the Lord wants to spend time with you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you by His Word. He wants to keep you from sin and misery and woe in your life. He wants to bless your life. But just like a spouse, you have to go back to your first love, and you have to find balance, and you have to spend time alone, and you have to spend time communicating, and you have to spend time falling in love once again. You say, preacher, I've gotten so far from the Lord, I just don't know if I can do it anymore. Well, maybe you can't. But I know a man who can. And what I love in the Bible is that the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. You're halfway home. You're halfway home already. I walk in the door and Miss Audrey's great about it. I walk in the door and I'm the type's like, personal space, but I mean, I walk in the door, she's just right there. Bam! She could be in the backyard with the squirrel, and I say, hey, how you doing? And when I open the door, she's like right there. Bam! I haven't seen you. Like, okay, well, let me set my Bible down. Let me breathe for just a minute. Hey, I appreciate that. Man, you know what? If we would just wake up in the morning and say, where's the Lord? It's going to be something like this. I'm right here. I'm right here, because if we open up that book, man, we're talking with the Lord. We're hearing what God has to say. We're doing something besides TV, something besides Fox News, something besides social media, something besides kids, something besides spouse, something besides ourselves. Grab a cup of coffee, grab a Diet Coke, whatever you do, grab your orange juice, and man, find a way, find a place, find a time, and get along with God, because I don't know what your battles are right now as a Christian. I don't know what your issues are. I don't know what you're facing this week, or what decisions you have to make, or what heartache. But if you say, there's no way I can make it through, I know a man who can carry you through any trial in your life. Do you know him today as your Savior? Christian, do you know him today as your friend?